It's time for Backyard Almanac with our host and hero, Larry Weber. Say, the next time you explain how much we need rain, maybe rain over a slightly longer period of time, or maybe not quite so much rain all at one time.
Very, very interesting, wasn't it? When I spoke last week, we were below normal in precipitation. And you made a comment about how the forecast was for storms and thunder showers and so forth over the weekend. Well, it lived up to it, and we are now above normal in precipitation. We're about an inch above normal for the month of June, and that's saying a lot because June is our wettest month. Now, this is the 22nd. We still have more than a week to go, and so there could be an additional precipitation. I was very glad to see it. I missed much of it. I was traveling, and I heard about it. By the time I got back here, the storms had passed. I did not see and witness the bridge out and the trees down and so forth, but I did see plenty of rivers that were higher than normal, ponds and lakes and so forth, all responding to the rain. To me, June is not June if we don't get at least one big storm. And yes, now this, like I say, we still have more than a week to go. We began the season of summer yesterday, and it's interesting to note sunrise yesterday was 5:14, and here we are now on the 22nd, and sunrise is 5:15. Very slowly now, the days will start getting shorter. We won't notice much for quite a while, but it is happening. Sunsets are still late. They're still after 9 o'clock. Now, what I did this week I think was really cool, and I would like to invite others to do the same thing. And that is, I went out for a walk about 9:30 after sunset until about 10:30. Now, the sun sets shortly after 9 o'clock, and, of course, there's still plenty of light. But things start happening. I see a sequence. We have birds that sing late, the thrushes, the wood-pewees, sometimes a few of the sparrows will sing quite late, and often after sunset they will continue to sing as long as there is some twilight. And then after that, about a half hour after sunset, is when the bat flight takes place. And I saw the big brown bats out there flying. And then about another 15 minutes after that, when it gets darker, the fireflies come out. Now, it depends on where you live, but the fireflies do very well in grassy areas. I find them best when the grass is a tall grass. Shortcut lawns, they don't do as well. But the tall grass, yes, they're out there. And they are a marvel to watch. I've talked about them before. I can't seem to not talk about them. They are just so interesting. They're one of the few cases of insects that use visual clues for mating. And most insects use other methods, but they use visual. And as I've often told my students, if you're out there flying around at night, you turn on a light. What you've done is you let everybody know where you are, and that's not really a smart thing to do, unless in this case it has a stronger meaning. And as I've also said, bioluminescence is not very common on land. About the only organisms on land that light up are the fireflies, and then we have a few kinds of fungi that will do so. But for the most part, it is something of the oceans. And so these fireflies are really amazing. Well, during my walk, seeing the fireflies and the bats, I also noticed a few other things. Gray tree frogs, which began calling in May, are still calling, and they will continue the rest of the month. They have a pretty long breeding season. And then we have the two summer frogs, mink frogs, which started to call maybe about May sometime, are still calling, and then just recently the green frogs also. Mink frogs and green frogs are our two summer frogs, and they will call pretty much all the way through July. As I walked by a swamp, I heard the calling of a sora rail, and then I heard, nearby woods, I heard the drumming of a rough grouse. And meanwhile, a flight of a Wilson snipe was taking overhead, and a barred owl was calling. Now, if that wasn't enough, I also heard coyotes calling, and then I heard the early crickets of the season. We have a spring crickets that call. They start calling already in May, and they will continue through much of June. They get replaced by other crickets and katydids and so forth later in the summer. But it's really a neat thing to do. Get out and walk at that time. It's cooler, and it's just a very pleasant time. Other things of note, we are getting more butterflies of different kinds. White admirals have shown up. This is a black butterfly. It has big white lines through its wings. It's known as a white admiral. And this is the beginning of the brown butterflies showing up. At first, when we see what looks like a moth, we tend to think it is a moth, but there are a whole group of brown butterflies. The little small brown ones that I've seen so far are called wood satyrs. They're going to be followed by several other species. New species of dragonflies are showing up. The ones that I saw in good numbers this week were the calico pennants, which I find they leave the water and then they go out into the fields, and they seem to do most of their hunting out in the fields. And speaking of hunting in the fields, we have the more spider webs as we get through the summer. The really big webs and the really big time of spiders is later in the summer, but it's growing as we go. Speaking of growing, the fledglings are leaving the nest in the world of birds. These storms, they gave a lot of moisture that we needed for the plants, but they also wreaked a little bit of havoc, and there's cases where baby birds had been drowned in their nest in a storm like this. And so as a result of that, this is still early enough in June, we're going to have a second nesting, and I heard a robin singing once this week, persistently singing, and I think that's what that was all about, was a second nesting. It's not too late to have a second nesting. There are a number of birds that are still nesting on their first nesting. Wildflowers have been very abundant in the fields and roadsides lately. Probably the most abundant, most noticeable in the Duluth area are the lupines. The lupines that grow there are non-native to this area. Now, they are native to North America. They're just non-native to this area. And they, like the daisies and the hawkweeds things like, I'm trying to search for the name of the plant, the vetches, the yarrows. These are all out there in bloom right now. And yes, clovers, sweet clovers. So there's plenty of them bloom out there. Also in the wetlands, we can find yellow pond lilies. White water lilies have just started to bloom. Water calla along the edge. And then there's irises also blooming along the edge. I went out to a site that I know of for showy lady slippers this week, and I was not disappointed. There was the showy lady slipper, our state flower. This is the time when they come in bloom. Get out, if you can, to a swampy area, mostly in the northern part of the state, and try to get to see them. As we proceed now through the rest of the month, we're going to start to see things like milkweed and fireweed and evening primrose all starting to show up. I consider them more of July flowers, but they are on the move. Dogwoods, high bush cranberries are in bloom along the sides of the road, as well as raspberries, blackberries, and roses. The woods is filled, thanks to this moisture, is filled with very good, tall, beautifully green ferns, but I have not yet seen much mushrooms. I've seen just a few. Now, as we get further into summer, we should be seeing a lot more of those. So, yes, welcome to the new season, Lisa. And, yes, I suggest we get out there and take a look. There's plenty to see.
It's time to celebrate summer.
Yes.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Thanks so much, Larry. Larry Weber this morning. He's an author, educator, naturalist, and radio host, of course, our guest, special guest host every Friday for Backyard Almanac right here on KUMD.